Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. Thank you for joining us today. We have an extra special E3 episode. Fran is joining me as always.
Hey there.
Along with Scott from Bungie.
Hi, how's it going?
And of course, Deej, you are back. We interviewed you today. It's good to see you again.
Good to be here. Yeah, I feel like we're in a newsroom. Can I be Deej with weather?
This is very impressive.
Chance of snowstorms atop Felwinter's Peak.
That's what I was going to say. You got to talk about the new weather.
Yeah, this set is pretty impressive, guys.
It is. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, courtesy of Fran Mirabella.
Thanks.
I
didn't do all this, but
I did
have to pay for it.
Don't be so modest.
Yeah, right.
We came in here, you were wearing a tool belt, you were
almost done.
I just finished it.
A few more disco lights and we're good to go here.
Indeed.
So today we're going to talk about a lot of the new Rise of Iron stuff that has come out today and just news that has broken. And we're going to take a bunch of questions from the community.
Okay.
I got as many as I could. Sorry if I missed anybody. But why don't you tell us a little bit about this expansion? I want Scott to answer.
You go first.
I'll go first.
So, Rise of Iron. Yeah, we're taking Lord Saladin, who's been, you know, in Destiny since the beta. He's in the tower. He showed up in the tower with this ritual iron banner. And now we're going to take that into PvE. And we're going to learn a lot more about that side of the lore and try to, learn about the Iron Lords. And that's going to tell us about the Fallen on Earth and really dive into that side of the game.
Before we get to the newest of new, let's bring up a moment of silence for trip mines and anybody ever equipping them again. Why did you make the decision to make that change after years of keeping it that way?
I mean, it's all up on the blog. The sandbox designers, their job is never finished. They're going to adjust the sandbox. If there's an option for combat that doesn't seem viable, they're going to make it more viable. If there's an option for combat that is annoying for other players, obviously it's annoyed to get killed by another guardian. But if it's infuriating and if it happens all the time and it's the only thing that you ever see, it's like, oh, here comes a hunter. Let me guess. Dunk.
Yeah.
They're going to go through and they're going to, maintain order and they're going to maintain balance. They take an enormous amount of pride in their work. And they really do the best job of speaking for themselves. So, we like to go through and publish their update previews on the blog, just to give the Guardians some advance notice. Like, here's what's coming down the pike. People are thinking about this stuff a lot. Here's why we did it. And, they pay attention to the things the community talks about. They take a look at the data. We can see what you're doing.
I know.
We can see the activities that you're playing, and we're like the NSA of Destiny.
Exactly.
We know what weapons you're equipping. We know what activities you're playing.
I saw you in the prison last night.
I saw you in the prison of elders last night.
I've never been
cheating.
So afraid. This is horrifying. You're watching me.
And then there's also, our own experiences. So between the things that the Guardians say, the things that they do that they don't admit to, and the things that we experience, as players of our own game, as fans of our own product, if you will, they'll make focused decisions based on how they want the sandbox to play out. So
let's stay on the topic of Crucible. I actually have a question from True Vanguard, who asks, are there any new approaches to map design being implemented with the coming of Rise of Iron DLC?
Similar to the sandbox designers, there's a lot to talk about with PvP and unpack for Rise of Iron. We have new maps coming, but we're going to let those guys come out over the summer and kind of really speak to their process and what they're excited about.
Deeds, you mentioned there's a new mode coming. Will that new design have the new mode in mind when creating the map?
Yeah, that's how they think about these things. You know, when you we actually had three of the original Crucible map designers on our stream a couple of weeks ago, and there was this really interesting conversation about Rusted Lands,
yeah.
You know, the old Russia Crucible map, being one of the most iterative maps in the entire Crucible. It has had the most. It was basically the map that they used to test all of the weapons. It was also the map where they sort of perfected the way control would work. So whenever they're walking around a map, they're like, hey, let's go over to B now. You know, and it's like the way people play the game. You know, they'll say, even if you're playing Clash, you know, they're like, hey, I'm over here at B. Come help me because I don't want to lose my heavy. And it's like, we're not playing. Okay, fine. I know where B is. Fine. Let's just pretend we're playing Control. Yeah. I'll go over to B. But they know what they're making these maps for. They know they want to provide different types of experiences. Certain maps are all about verticality. Mm-hmm. Certain maps are about parkour jumping across the landscape. Certain maps are about close quarters fights where your boots are on the ground. And now that they have a new mode coming online, they're building these maps. We're playtesting these modes. They're iterating on the maps. They're iterating on the modes. So all of these things come together in harmony. You know, all of these people, all of these disciplines are working in the same way. As they adjust the maps, as they adjust the new Crucible mode, Sandbox team might even look at that and be like, everybody's playing this new mode on this map and they're all using shotguns. Mm-hmm. What do we do about that? So, you know, all of these things, you know, there's checks and balances and it should all be sort of be part of the same organism. What was it, the word they taught us in school? Homeostasis?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And the new mode is incredibly fun. It's really, mm-hmm. really fun.
And that's all we'll say until later on this
tell
summer.
Tell us more about it, yeah. Exactly.
Don't lean on the executive producer. He's too excited about his work.
Oh, we know you have a rollout plan for the summer, as we'll hear a lot over this discussion.
In the coming weeks and months, we'll be telling you much more about Rise of Iron.
Stories to tell. I did have one point of clarification to jump off that last topic. Like, so when you are implementing a balance change, you have a QA group, you have testers. I think actually that's not always clear to the community and the fans. Like, because we play it, and then there'll inevitably be somebody, right, who's tweeting at you, like,
sure.
Can't believe you let this slide through. So maybe just a point of clarity, like, roughly what happens? Does it go to a group of 50 people, 100 people? I know it's probably not always the same, but how would you describe that process of once you decide, based on the data, what happens to test out if it's the right
process
thing?
Process question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that I was going to leave it to you, but sure. No, the first
point of order is, it is they. It's not me, because I have the tweets to prove that people think that I personally nerfed the hunters.
You're to blame for most.
It's like, I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what I'm really good at? I honestly don't have a clue. But
you're also the reason we don't have wolves as companions.
Well, I wouldn't call a wolf a companion. They're feral beasts.
Right.
Only a badass like Lord Saladin can be flanked by something as fierce as a wolf.
Yes.
But I think, you know, Scott has a much better perspective as I do than I do about how different teams work together and how they complement each other. And, you know, the community doesn't get the chance to hear from a guy
That's
like
true.
You as
yeah.
often as me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, one of the things that you said, everyone has an opinion about these different things. And so the job of us at work is to take all that feedback, take the internal feedback that we have, roll it up, and then prioritize it and figure out what that balance is. And so, you know, we've had a really neat opportunity with Destiny to, after we ship the game, to really be iterating on it and evolving it. And we do these sandbox updates fairly often.
Yeah.
So that's part of that's part of tending to the evolving landscape, right? So when this game comes out and we have Gjallarhorn, then that's going to be the right Gjallarhorn for Rise of Iron and for the Destiny of right now.
Yeah. I actually don't know if I got the
process.
Does it go to a group that's really sizable, or do you not want to talk about the number?
No, I mean,
there's different types of testing, you know, like it's not a matter of saying, you know, hey, we've got new sandbox balance that we have in mind. Here you go, testers. You know, like there are testers who work embedded with the groups that they support. I've given over 200 studio tours at Bungie. The team has expanded in size a lot since I've been there, and I'm kind of, you know, me or Cosmo, the community manager, is part of their day one ritual, you know? So it's like, welcome to Bungie, here's a box of t-shirts, let's show you where you're going to be spending a lot of your time.
Yeah.
And there is a wing in our building, in our studio, there's a portion where we used to tell this story, where it's like, here's where all of the testers hang out. And they're getting Destiny ready to be an always online, always connected game on four separate consoles.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and on their backs, because of their hard work, we shipped a pretty good stable title. Since then, though, since the game has been out and we've been iterating on it, the story about that portion of our studio is very different now. And I tell them, quite literally, this is where all of Test used to be. And it was because of them that we shipped a great game. Now, the testers have been sort of dispersed all across the floor. So there are sandbox testers, there are world art testers, there are investment testers. So a tester at Bungie has a specialty.
More of a niche,
and they sit right next to the person that they're supporting. So it's not just like, this comes from straight upstairs, they want to know if the shotguns are, you know, it's like, they understand what the goals are of the design team, they understand their vocabulary. I'm not sure how many dedicated sandbox testers support the sandbox team, but it's in the single digits.
And test is a, you know,
they're
testers are game
acquainted
developers, right? Like, I think that's an important thing to say, right? Testers are a really important part of the process, and they work and collaborate with the designers to really execute what you end up seeing.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
So if something's bad, it's the tester's fault.
Well,
what I'm hearing. No,
it's my fault. The buck stops right here. If something's wrong,
it's your fault.
It's my fault.
Oh, send him to Deej.
Send him right to me.
Look at this guy.
You brought up investment testing. Yeah. One of the questions we got was about factions. You guys gave me a Seven Seraph shirt, and that was a faction early on, or it was supposed to be.
It's a t-shirt.
Yeah. It's a story element. It was, you know, it was one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time.
Talking about investment systems, though, are we ever going to see new factions?
Oh, that's interesting. For Rise of Iron, we don't have any new factions, and so that's not something we're focusing on right now. But we're always talking about all sorts of things, and so that's something that I'm sure, you know, people talk about, but not for Rise of Iron.
But you do have new story elements. I mean,
absolutely.
The Iron Lords are really the new group that we're paying attention to in Rise of Iron. You know, and understanding who that legendary order of heroes were. You know, I mean, before any of the Guardians were alive, you know, these were the guys that protected humanity. So the player fantasy for this one is not about joining Dead Orbit or colluding with New Monarchy. It's about, here's this new group you can join, only you earn it. You don't just walk up and be like, I'll put that on and I get reputation now, right? It's like, you will fight back this threat that destroyed them. You will participate in their rituals and you get to become an Iron Lord. Perhaps a Dead Orbit Iron Lord, but, you know, so it's becoming more and more layered.
Yeah.
Your storytelling in The Taken King really set a new bar. We had cutscenes, and we have a question from T-Rex that is about the new content. Are we going to discover the fate of the Iron Lord strictly through gameplay and voiceovers, or are we going to get more cutscenes like in The Taken King?
It's all yours.
You're absolutely getting cutscenes. So one of the things that we were really excited about, but they're really
fun.
Question. So yeah, it is.
Say it, preach.
I'm just excited about it because we want that too. Like, we're always looking at trying to improve and iterate on our storytelling. And one of the, there's many tools of how you can tell a story, and cinematics are a great one when you're telling a big campaign. And so, yes, there's great in-game cinematics that come out with Rise of Iron.
Is there more volume of cinematics? Like, in the same way we Taken King, we had the biggest raid that we'd experienced. Like, are there more?
I think, you know, Rise of Iron in general is positioned really, really well between, this is the way I think of it, we have House of Wolves and we have Taken King, and Rise of Iron's in a really comfortable place in the middle overall. And so when I think of that, I really compare it to House of Wolves, which I worked on, where it's like we have a raid, we have a whole new zone, we have you know, these enemy types that are a little mysterious, the Fallen, well, something's going on here, the Sea-vified, right? And so we do have cinematics. That's another thing we did not have in House of Wolves, and so
you were starting to get there, though.
Yeah, no, but I think we did a lot of really great work on the storytelling and telling a story about Petra and Varix and the Reef and the Queen and all that side of the world. And so now we're going to be talking about the past of the Iron Lords and Saladin and why he's been doing this thing, this Iron Banner thing. And cinematics and voiceover are two really important ways. And new characters. So the social space is going to have new characters, and that's really the hub that tells the story.
There's also a new light level.
Yes.
Broman wants to know if getting there and leveling up is going to also change in any way.
The level is staying. I think we've said that. If we haven't, I just did. And then the light level is going to go up.
Got it.
A significant.
Two.
A significant light
a significant level.
How much would you say a significant amount is out of 100?
It's a significant.
More than insignificant, but less than outrageous.
Oh, okay. Well, those seem like arbitrary words.
Yeah. I will tell you this, though. I think one of the things that I appreciate a lot about Destiny is I think Rise of Iron does a really good job of catering to different types of players, and each of them have their desire to level up, but they like playing the game in different ways. So you guys understand, like, with Vault of Glass and with Crota's End, during that phase of our adventure, the only way to become a max-level Guardian, really the only way to complete yourself, was to play those raids. But not everyone does.
Yeah.
And the more we started investing in things like Iron Banner, the more we started investing in things like Trials of Osiris, we gave people other ways to become legend, to become most powerful. And even with the April update, a lot of the feedback that we got are a lot of solar players, or void players, or arc players, solo players, stepping forward and saying, I really appreciate the things you've done with the April update, because I feel like for the first time as a solo player, I can now achieve max light. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we're doing with Rise of Iron is the raid is there. Raid will be amazing. It'll be challenging. It'll be this wonderful bond of camaraderie between you and your five favorite problem solvers. And that's one way in which you can, you know, realize your full potential. But all of these other activities will also help you do that. You know, Iron Banner will still be there. Trials will still be there. There are some interesting endgame rituals. You know, things just exploring the world can help you get to a place where you feel as powerful as anybody who's a hardcore raider.
Did you like the game, Deej? You played it last week.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was very. I thought you did a very good job.
Well, there's other people that
must be. Bungie likes their own game.
Well, I don't know. It's good. I don't
Do you
know
feel the blog is well written, Scott?
I do like the blog.
Yeah,
that's a voice.
Yeah,
that's
a very particular voice. The comma usage is spot on. You know,
hey, man.
Great.
You do a good job.
Yeah, we really need to stop this. Firewall us. Ask another question fast.
You guys released a bunch of images of the new area. It looks like we're going back to the Cosmodrome, as you said, and it's totally covered in snow, but there's some relics there of public events that we've experienced in the past. What story are you telling with that art direction?
The big thing that's going to be reinforced throughout the game is that time has passed in this version of the Cosmodrome. And so you're going to see the wall is down, and so we really are interested in the feeling of, you know, this is where you started your journey. This is where you were born, for all intents and purposes, in Destiny. Mm-hmm. And now that world has changed, so you're going to go into the wall, and that's going to be a different experience. And I think the thing you're referring to is, did you see out in the Rocket Yard? Or is there,
yeah.
Okay.
And
that's cool. Well, I don't know what people saw.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're going to see, you know, similar to in Taken King, you saw Sepix was dead.
In there.
And so we like playing with those kinds of things and those stories. And so we're really trying to, you go in and you see that, and then you are led to the new area and the Plague Lands, which is off to the right. You go off to the right. And you're going to access it by going to Earth. So it's the first time we've created a new zone on an existing destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really exciting.
Wow. So, is my spin metal still in the same?
You still have spin metal.
Oh, okay.
Spin metals. Good. We're not. There's no new spin material.
Spin metal is resilient to the cold.
Makes sense. Spin metal does find some metal.
I don't know why it would.
It
have
grows out of radioactive waste.
Yeah, that's
what we're talking about here.
Spin metal.
That makes sense.
So, Frodo's tweets actually wants to know: will we see any events from year two in Rise of Iron? And with those areas changing so drastically, how would you do something like that?
So, your experience in the Cosmodrome, if you play it today, is not going anywhere. So the way it's going to work is you're going to have a single director image, and you're going to be able to access the different nodes that are going to take you to the instance that's appropriate. So if you choose to do the Rise of Iron Patrol, it's going to put you in the Plague Lands. Yeah. If you choose to do the Destiny Patrol, it's going to put you where you always have been landing. And so we didn't want to take anything away or alter those existing experiences for anyone who's joining us or who wants to play those missions and content. So you're going to, hopefully this is the ideal experience where you can see time pass. But also still play the old content.
Yeah, but for clarity, right, like when you install Rise of Iron or pop in the disc, there's going to be some opening event and time skipping forward, and suddenly, like, all of Earth now is on snow, right? You can't go back to...
No, you go back... No, it's very clear.
You can access both.
Yes.
Wow. Oh. So you can, like, where we land today on Earth will look and be the same.
Yes.
There was... people talking about that will now be all changed.
That is not the case.
So it's only within the Plague Lands and those new areas.
Correct.
So old areas will remain intact and look the same. They're not suddenly going to be covered in snow. Okay.
We're trying to, with the time passing, we want to have the difference.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're definitely telling a backstory with the art direction in the Plague Lands and like the fallen walker that's there and destroyed, similar to what you said about Sepix. My name is Bife says, what will Bungie be doing to put the backstory and lore of Destiny in the game as opposed to on the Destiny Companion app?
It's a big
this
question.
Is something the community keeps asking for.
Sure.
The grimoire is external. They just want to read it in the game. What are you guys doing about that?
Well, I think
that?
If you look at this whole area of lore, the Iron Banner and the Iron Lords, I mean, that's the story we're telling. That's the story that we're telling in the cinematics. That's the story that's being told through the campaign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to tell story in Destiny. The weapon names. I mean, like, one of the things that's really compelling about Rise of Iron to me is that I look at the year one Iron Banner weapons, and now I'm going to be like, Fellwinter's Peak, that sounds familiar. Like, that, you kind of have an association with the weapon. And so you're telling, you know, there's an emotion that comes with that. And you know, hopefully an excitement of like how you feel about these weapons, and so now you're going to be learning about those characters in game. You're going to find out by the end of this game. You will know what happened to the Iron Lords and understand why Saladin is performing the Iron Banner ritual, and that's something that is in the game, and that's what we're that's the story.
Please don't let anything happen to Lord Saladin. I will be
very
unhappy.
What
a little. A little.
He has a cape.
He seems like he's under
a lot
of stress.
All the other Iron Lords are gone.
Yeah.
You become an Iron Lord.
Yeah.
There's,
what do we need? What do we need this guy for? Anyway?
Yeah.
That sounds scary. I'm still an Iron
I will say Saladin has all those wolves, and he seems very tough. So, yeah.
He should be fine.
He's doomed.
Speaking of wolves, I think you guys missed a collector's edition opportunity there. You could have a pet puppy and you raise it.
Yeah,
and
like
then
a,
you have
you
your
get
companion.
Chips with a puppy.
No collector's edition. Why'd you make that decision?
Well, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. You know, we have one version of Rise of Iron to cater to every player. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to collect Destiny stuff, I mean, we have people that will help you do that, you know? I mean, there's these awesome, you know, Iron Banner medallions in the Bungie store, so if you want to dress up like Lord Saladin, if you want to people at work going, what's that? You know, and you start talking about this video game you play, you know, I mean, you know, we give people many different ways that they can express themselves creatively, you know? And with Rise of Iron, what we're doing is we're giving people a chance to collect a Gjallarhorn. Bring the Gjallarhorn back. Help yourself to the Iron Gjallarhorn.
Put it up on the screen.
Here we go.
Gjallarhorn time.
It's
we can
back.
Do this.
It's back.
Slowly. Eventually it's back.
Everyone's ready.
It's coming back.
This is the Gjallarhorn.
There you go.
Age
oh.
nailed it. He's got that magic touch.
Nailed it.
I waited for the fade to start before I pointed.
Well done.
So yeah, it's back. And, you know, you can collect your Gjallarhorn. If you pre-order, it also comes in black. But
and you get both. You can get the black one, and you get the original
correct.
One. But, in case I want this.
We are trying to simplify. You know, we're trying to simplify. At this moment in time, Rise of Iron is a large expansion. Like you said, somewhere in between House of Wolves and the Taken King is this thing called Rise of Iron. One SKU was what we figured would satisfy everyone.
Yep.
And you know, like I said, if you want Chris Barrett's 8-bit, you know, Lord Saladin T-shirt, we got that for you. There's also going to be all sorts of like Rise of Iron accoutrement up in the Bungie store. There's a Gjallarhorn T-shirt. So I mean, you know, go wild. You know, help yourself to everything you want. But in terms of acquiring the game, we wanted to make that an easy experience.
Mm-hmm. Vault space.
Yeah.
So
I have
now,
no
last-gen consoles.
Yeah.
File save as 300 vault space slots.
Is
that's
that how
it,
that works?
Right? That's
press
how it
the
works.
Fun button?
Yeah.
No, I you know, I think that's all those quality of life things we're going to be talking about throughout the summer.
Ugh.
Future stories.
Future stories.
I don't know the answer to that one.
There's a lot here.
Yeah.
Well, a lot to talk about.
I got a question that's relevant to where we are. So E3.
Yeah.
I made a prediction on the show that, of course, it's going to be like previous years.
I heard.
They'll show up and they'll have a behind closed door and we'll see a little bit of the strike.
I heard that in
opening.
My car and I was like, huh.
Yeah. You really laughed it up, I bet. Everyone out there was like, I knew he was going to be wrong with this one. Well, I got the release date right.
You did.
On, Prison of Elders in the past.
Well done.
And some other stuff. But whatever. E3. This is a little softer showing. Why not? Why don't we see? I don't know. Why don't we see more? Why do we have to wait?
I mean,
it worked for you last year pretty well, right?
It did.
Yeah,
why not
show
more?
This has definitely been a more chill E3 for us. Before E3 even began, we revealed Rise of Iron.
Yep.
You know, we are less than a week beyond the reveal of this thing, and we were able to have, as we are right now, a great conversation, including the community. So we wanted to give a nice, large moment where we could play the trailer, have a conversation with Scott and Christopher Barrett, really give the Guardians something to think about, give them something to be excited about. E3 is an opportunity for us to come and continue that conversation and talk to people who didn't necessarily attend our live reveal. We're going to need a lot of Iron Lords this fall, you know, and while, you know, the Guardians the pilot light on the imagination has been lit, and they want to know more, and they want to know more now. And as much as it's, you know, sort of teasing for them to say, okay, I'm watching Deej go to all these interviews, and he's saying the same thing to all these different people, we are sounding the call. You know, this is Lord Saladin's call to action, and we're letting everybody know that there's a new adventure. You can come, you can play it. You know, in past, yeah, we've had, you know, opportunities for people to come and play the game, but this was back when there were questions like, is Destiny fun?
Right.
Does Destiny work? An online connected game? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, and so there was a certain amount of confidence or enthusiasm that we were looking to, you know, give to people. And at this point, I've had a couple of people ask me, like, is Destiny playable here? It's like, nope. Playable at home.
Can I announce something? I'm going to announce a thing.
What are you going to announce?
The PR's out there right now.
Like, do it! Do it quick, like, before he says no!
So, something we've been talking about is Moments of Triumph.
Oh, yes, that's right. There's an image going around.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And so, on the way here, I was emailing, and I was like, I want to talk about this. And
please.
Don't just stay. It's fine.
Get approved.
So, we did that last year, and we really want to celebrate, you know, how people play Destiny and give... It's just a fun experience, right?
Yeah.
To memorialize
absolutely
what you do. So, you know, we're gonna do this. So your Moments of Triumph's coming back.
Mm-hmm. When?
As we saw, it's on 7/7, July 7th,
all right.
And it's in-game. So last time it was on Companion, and we're going to bring it into the game.
So that's one way you're bringing that sort of stuff into the game. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So see, I got to say a thing.
I didn't know we were going to get a thing.
You got a thing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Don't just stay there.
You got some special rewards last time. You got any?
Well, so we're going to tell. So that's all we get.
Oh,
so I
want
to say
okay.
That's good, though, right? Like, we got a thing. So we're going to talk about that more as we get closer. But I really wanted to clarify that that's coming. It's going to be in game. It's going to be an iteration on what we did last year, and we're excited to continue celebrating all the accomplishments the Guardians accomplished.
So Bungie Day, you know, we've got our. Our usual requisite fetish about the number 7.
Yes.
7th month, 7th day, has always been, not always, for years now, been Bungie Day. And instead of, you know, christening a holiday for ourselves, this was a community creation that we co-opted and said, good idea, let's make that special.
Yeah.
So we've always celebrated community achievements on Bungie Day. We've always celebrated their art. We've always celebrated the things that they do to make the game special. Moments of Triumph is a great extension for that. So the full reveal will happen on Bungie Day. We'll show people all the things that they can do to complete their Destiny adventure, earn some special rewards, and we'll show them how they'll track it in-game.
Not far away from now.
No.
A little less than a month.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bungie Day 7/7, are we going to get access to the raid in September, the day the content drops?
I don't think we're talking about it. No.
It'll be delayed.
There will be a raid.
Yes.
We're not talking about when it starts.
Okay. Fair enough.
But you've seen what we've done before, and you know, we like to do things.
We got a pitcher back there.
That was cool.
Zamboni.
The Death Zamboni coming right at us. Right. Fortunately, we have six Guardians between
us. Yeah, that's true. They can protect us.
Yeah.
Four Moments of Triumph, actually, can you clarify? Will I get credit for being there since day one? You know, meaning Moments of Triumph originally, right, said, hey, you were here in the first year.
Sure.
Well, now I've been there for 2 years. Is there a differentiation, or it's like, look, if you've been there a year, you get included?
Well, like you said, we'll find out
we'll
in
find
less
out,
than a month.
Pretty soon.
Apparently.
Yeah. We knew more than we knew 5 minutes ago.
I tried. Okay. And really fast, too, on scope of updates. You're a little busy this week. You know, what do we expect for the Bungie updates in the coming weeks? And really, to be specific, can you set any expectation for, you know, will there be not huge until Bungie Day? Or will there be some significant information in the coming
releases
weeks?
Of more news?
Yeah, in the next one and the next one.
You know, I'm trying to survive E3 at this point. I'm on about 5 hours sleep. You know, these bags under my eyes are genetic, but at the same time, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle product. Mm-hmm. We're going to get back home. You know, we're going to get back up on Twitch and keep having, you know, the fun moments that we have with our community. Yeah. Some of those moments will be us, you know, inviting them to come and kick our ass in a Bungie bounty. Mm-hmm. Others may be an opportunity for us to talk a little bit more about Rise of Iron. We have between now and September 20th to talk about the arsenal, to talk about the progression system, to talk about the plague lands, to talk about a number of different things that will define the player experience. How do I get my hand on that double-headed, you know, headed axe bathed in flame and wrapped in chains? It's awesome.
That looks fun.
The new relic. You need help with those reveals, you know how to get a hold of them.
Know exactly.
You guys are interested?
Place.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do have a show called Fire Team Chat.
True.
True. Yes, I see now. I understand.
Definitely. Fran?
Yeah, I mean, I have tons more questions, but I know these guys don't have a ton more time.
He'll tell us when we got to wrap
it up. But I did another quick related note.
He's saying wrap
it up. Looking at his phone.
Yeah.
Why haven't we heard about SRL? Why so quiet? I mean, you liked
you
it, right?
It? You want me to take it?
Let me ask you this first question.
I can answer this.
Did you consider SRL a success?
Me, personally?
No.
I loved it.
But yeah.
Me, personally, yeah. as somebody who, you know, Bungie's always had a great flair for vehicular combat in its games, and that was really my specialty back in the day when I was a Bungie fan before I came, you know, to help, you know, be part of the Destiny reveal and launch.
Yeah.
So I absolutely adored Sparrow Racing League, and I get a lot. People know that I like it, which is why I get a flurry of when are we going to get it back? When are we going to get it back? We know the community wants it to come back.
Mm-hmm.
There may even be conversations about whether or not we bring it back. We don't have any announcements. We don't have anything you can mark in your calendar. But, you know, the live team has done some interesting things to give people fresh reasons to come back to the world of Destiny. Things that are limited time engagements so that you can love them while they're there but not get sick of them and maybe want them to come back.
Yep.
And they're going to take a look at the next year of Destiny on the other side of Rise of Iron and think about how we can keep the world fresh. Maybe Sparrow Racing will be a part of that. Maybe you'll even see some of those other limited time events come back. You know, I mean, we still have things like Festival of the Lost or Crimson Days or some of the other things that we've done. It's really a matter of what we think would be the best way to keep people engaged and keep people invigorated, you know, and that's their charge. So we'll see what the live team does.
Yeah, I mean, I think it strikes some fans as like it was fun, you know, like got a lot of positive feedback and you sort of thought it would be right in the rotation.
And I saw my book.
Exactly. I didn't finish my book quite. It just seems odd that it just didn't come back. Was there something wrong with it? Like, in terms of, like, from a... I mean, honestly, from a game perspective. We really wanted to tweak this one thing, and we only have so much time. And,
no, I mean, I think... I think I don't think we think of it the same
it
that
worked.
Way. I think the way we think of it is there's many different ways to refresh and update Destiny, and one of them is, you know, limited-time events, and we think those are really exciting and can bring people together during a certain window. And so... from that perspective, Sparrow Racing League actually accomplished its goal for us, right?
Yeah.
And then we learned a bunch of things about it. And like Deej said, you know, with all these kind of hot topics, we're always talking about them and always trying to figure out the best place to put them. But you look at something like bringing Gjallarhorn back, you know, we let it rest, and now it's really makes sense now. You know what I mean? So you look for those opportunities to try to align and make sure that the things all come together. That there's it's not just one thing, right? It's a whole package that makes people excited.
There's really no a cultural outside of Sparrow Racing League or outside of the Gjallarhorn coming back. There's a cultural thing at Bungie that I've noticed over the years where there's really no such thing as good enough. Mm. You know, there's such a culture of perfectionism there. You know, like there are people there who are allergic to compliments. You know, like, oh, the Plague Lens was awesome. I love what you did there.
Man.
And it's like, you know.
But I fix this one thing.
Yeah, but they're always striving to make things like better. You know, so it's we're not just bringing the Gjallarhorn back, you know, and it's like, okay, the Gjallarhorn is now back in the loot tables. Happy raiding. Good luck with your exotic engrams. I mean, it's an event, you know. It's the product of a quest now. So it's not just a matter of saying you can have it. It's like you can go and forge it. You can earn it. So, you know, who knows what we'll do in the future, but it doesn't sound like the guys I work with to just say, yeah, okay, you can have it back.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, too, is that the way I hear that, what you say, is that people like Sparrow Racing.
Yeah.
And they want it back. And so I've taken that a step further. It's people engaged with Destiny and engaged with being excited about the game. And so we, you know, take that as a real opportunity, you know, to figure out what we're going to do next.
You took out Sparrow Racing League. You're kind of letting 360 and PS3 be on their own servers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you're going to do moving forward with the old consoles remaining where they're at? Like, those versions won't be updated?
Yeah, you'll be able to play... If you have a PS3 or a 360, you'll be able to play Destiny and The Taken King, but we're not going to be updating. We're going to be focusing on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah. And for anybody, you know, watching your show who's on the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360, I can pledge to you that our Destiny player support team, they're always in the building. You know, they're always working on making sure that, you know, the game is stable and that you have the information you need, you know, to keep up with the adventure. We're working with them right now to make sure that we're going to publish a full suite of helpful articles so that every player of Destiny, no matter what platform you're on, you're going to understand, you know, when this divergence happens. You know, sometime this summer, sometime in August, before we launch Rise of Iron, character progression will also fork. So while in the same console family, my PlayStation 4 and my PlayStation 3, there's a guardian that lives between those two consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So if for whatever reason you're jumping back and forth, you know, and it's like I get Gjallarhorn and it's over here, and then I, you know, I get a new Dead Orbit class item and then it's over here. Those two things are going to fork. And we'll have different ways for you to take a legacy console character and port it over to the current console. Mm-hmm. That functionality will exist. We're also going to be working with our partners who manufacture these consoles, and we'll talk to them and be like, we've got, you know, about 10% of our community that's going to need to upgrade. What can we do to help them? So there's tons of announcements that we'll be making, not just about Rise of Iron and why it's cool and why you want to play it, but about how the reality, how the gameplay reality of the game is going to change and how that will impact every single platform. So all of that is coming.
Yes. This has been something, it's kind of an old story. Somebody's working on something for the PC platform over at Bungie. Is that ever going to be considered for the Destiny universe?
I give that to you.
What was the question again?
Is Destiny ever coming to PC?
I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough.
I hope so.
Me too.
Much like Sparrow Racing League, I've read one or two tweets from people who want Destiny to be on PC. So,
one or two?
Yeah. That's good. The more noise the community makes, the more people at Bungie hear you. And I'm not the only one listening.
Yeah, I was going
to say. So it's an announcement I would love to make, but it's certainly not one that I will make this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with all the announcements at the Xbox conference, the parity between Windows 10 and the console, I mean, I thought that was great. You know, and I sat there thinking, like, I might just, instead of the Slim, I might just get a nice PC, you know, and so... The only thing missing is Destiny in that list, so I know you guys have already heard it, so that'd be awesome.
How will that functionality work with a game like Destiny? Like, it won't be available. I guess it's before the announcement, actually. Never mind.
Yeah. You just said he's not going to tell us.
We're getting way out over our skis now.
I don't know. How many more questions do you have about Destiny?
I'm good. I'm just kind of winging it.
Cool. Yeah. That's what we do here. I have, you know, this.
You've written things.
But I'm being respectful of time. Sure. Actually, maybe jumping in a more fun direction. Again, we're here at E3. Yeah. I would love to know, actually, if you guys were able to see anything outside of your world of community engagements this and interviews. What here did you see that you were like, oh, that looks great. I'm super excited.
I'm a huge Mass Effect fan, so seeing just the trailer is incredible. And, I'm also an Arkham and Rocksteady nut, so just seeing.
Did you do the VR?
I haven't yet, so that's
I did.
The
it was
thing.
Awesome.
The thing that that's the thing on my list when they're like, "What do you want to do? And what do you want to have time to do?" It's like that more than anything. I just want to talk to them, and I just want to look at that. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I'm most excited about because I have no idea. I'm so excited to learn about how that works and how they're going to deliver that. And you probably know all this stuff. You'll tell me off air. And I want to hear more about that. So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
No, we'll do it later.
Yep.
But so those are the big things for me, and it's a weird thing to complain about, not being able to walk around the floor as much as I would like.
Yeah.
I definitely am. Those are the things that jumped out at me when you asked that question.
Nice. Deej?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, games aside, you know, I invest so much time in playing Destiny with the community. You know, adapting to a new discipline. You know, I've had people say to me, like, are you going to play Overwatch? You going to play Overwatch with me? And I'm like, God, learning a brand new game, learning all of the new complexities of teamwork and all that stuff. It's like, I don't know if I just have that in me right now, you know? But there are certain things that call me back home. And I thought, I will definitely play with, you know, my 10-year-old shooter clan. I will play the new Call of Duty, you know.
I think a lot of people know this, but you take shooters very seriously. You have a whole group.
I wouldn't say that it's I take shooters very seriously. It's I take games very seriously, but my interests are so completely laser narrow.
Yeah.
I built a Bungie clan to play Bungie games. And with, you know, 2 or 3 years in between the releases of those games, that same clan took me from shooter to shooter to shooter. So we were this nomadic tribe of shooter bros, you know, and sisters for a long time. But it was like, you know, Halo to Gears of War to Call of Duty to Battlefield and then Call of Duty and then Battlefield and Call of Duty and then Reach and then Call of Duty and then Destiny, you know. And they try and play everything. And they're the ones that they're saying, you know, like, hey, we're playing Overwatch. It's awesome. You going to play it? And I'm like... Again, learning to speak a new shooter language right now, not in the cards.
Yeah.
I have to become an Iron Lord, and I'm going to be very busy making sure that Lord Saladin has, you know, fresh meat for the grinder. But I'm looking forward to... I actually like science fiction games. I love flight sims. You know, you get me started talking about, like, Free Space 2, I'll go forever.
You've gone to a bad place.
Call of Duty is dabbling in, like, space combat, you know? I'm like, I will do that. I will do that gladly. So I know that there's been, you know, some people reacting to the idea of Call of Duty in space, and there's some questions to be answered there, but I'm in. I'm going to go.
Cool.
I'm going to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it showed really well at the PlayStation 4 conference, and I dig it. Outside of that, outside of relating to games, the thing that I love about E3 is the fact that it truly is... a circus. The fact that we do these live shows, the fact that everybody has a stage, you know, the fact that you sit down and now you're talking to people outside of the internet. when I was a gamer and you would hear rumors about E3, it was like this secret castle somewhere where everybody would put hoods on and dress up in robes and tell each other industry secrets about the game. And I think people who play games, who love games, who don't get the opportunity to have a badge, they really get to attend now. And I think that's so cool, you know, when you're in the Twitch booth and they have a live feed, and you're in the IGN stage and you have a live feed, you know, and it's like people get to open a window into this world so that people can understand what this industry is like and what happens when all these gamers who work in this industry come together and they all have a passion for what they do, you know, and the forces of industry aren't evil. It's a bunch of people who love games and they're trying to bring this stuff to life and put it into people's hands, you know, and I just think culturally, with the advances of the way we all communicate via the internet, E3's become a really fascinating thing. So that's really even more fascinating to me than the game is the society and the social interaction that surrounds it, which is why I'm a community manager and you're an executive producer.
I like those things too.
You do like the way the blog is written though, right?
I do like the blog. We can talk about that.
I really like the Friday playtest.
So did you?
Yeah. We'll just bring it back full circle.
I don't get time. We're walking everywhere. I don't get to talk to you. So I had you cornered. I want to know what you think.
Dude, Scott, thank you so much for joining Fran and I on the show today. I have one more request, however, before we go. Do you want to do a Guardians Out to camera one?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you guys know how that goes. We sort of do the until next time, a brief pause, and then Guardians Out.
Yeah.
You'll do it.
You ready? Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, Guardians Out. Do you want to do one more?
Yeah, I was late on that one.
Here we go. Get the lights back. Get the lights back. We're going to do one more.
Which one's camera one?
It's right there.
Camera one. Okay, ready.
Getting it.
Really, really good this time.
Right. Really, really good.
Yeah. All right. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.